Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Senior Talk Radio. It's Project Independence and You. I'm just anticipating on Nick's conversation, which really, it's so unique and so special, and following up with Ann Margaret Carosa, which is so informative. Christina has a way of putting things together, and there really is, this is another issue of taking control of your life, in my mind. And we have with us Dr. George Gabernikoff.
That's right.
And George Gabernikoff, is the director of non-invasive cardiology and the medical director center for aortic disease at Winthrop University Hospital.
What a title! What a name!
Please, this was a rough one for
me. What a charming person, as you will hear.
Well, thank you very much.
And I obviously, Iris.
I had met
you guys know each other.
Well, no, we don't know each other, but I had gone to his lecture at Winthrop, and I was beguiled by the combination of art and heart.
Okay.
So we look forward to hearing what he has to say.
You know, it's a topic that's interesting. It's close to my heart as a cardiologist in many ways. It's a difficult topic to address on the radio, but I'll hopefully use my words as well as colorfully to try to kind of give a sense of what's important. I know this is a senior citizen audience, so the concept would be how do famous artists and how can we look back on their works and see what, let's just say that artists kind of reflect what's going on in society at the time in ways that other people can't, and also reflect their own psychological issues or their psychosocial issues personally, and how that influences their lives. And so what I decided to do was look back on art history and try to take from that different issues that might relate to cardiovascular diseases and psychosocial issues that are related to cardiovascular diseases using the imagery of the painting to describe that.
Okay.
So I think, you know, like the first one would be example, just to start off with this, is Edvard Munch.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows the scream.
Repeat his name once more because sometimes it doesn't catch.
And if people are listening, what I thought people could do, if you have your computers, just go to Google. And if I mention someone, give yourself a minute, find the painting, and then you could kind of get a better idea of it so we can kind of have a visual and a verbal. But Edvard Munch, M-U-N-C-H, his painting of the scream clearly shows the frustration, the anxiety, impossibility of sometimes dealing within the culture you are and how you reach a boiling point.
Mm.
And I thought that was a great representation of kind of the stressors and anxieties that we all go through in certain situations and what that could do to the heart. So I use that as a jump off point to talk about how stressors do influence heart disease. So we know that, for example, at 9/11, when 9/11 took place, there was a spike in heart attacks.
Mm.
We know that when there are
within the first couple of months,
there was a clear spike in heart disease. We know that when there are events that are tragic, either in the larger society or in personal lives, heart attacks spike again in that family or also in culture and society in general.
Does it sometimes happen from good things, too, because one feels so enormously elated? Is that a possibility, too?
That one I'm not aware of.
Okay.
But there is a disease process that we call about, which is named Takotsubo's cardiomyopathy. And Takotsubo is an event that happens particularly in older women related to highly emotional events. We don't understand the physiology very well, but it acts like a heart attack. An older woman could present with chest pain, EKG changes that are suggestive of a heart attack. You look and see what's happening to them. You take them to the catheterization lab and try to do an angiogram and fix it, assuming it's a heart attack. And there has been heart damage, but it's not irreversible. It is reversible. They get almost complete recovery. They are more likely to have it again, but it's not the same physiology of a heart attack that we know as those common causes. And it seems to be related to the stressors of that emotional event that leads to catecholamine release and the kind of body's response to stresses, and then it is reversible. So there are both reversible type events and irreversible events that are related to emotional stress.
Okay. I have to stop you and just go back. How did you get involved in this? To understand, honestly, what you're talking about is very interesting, but there had to be something that at one point in time said,
okay,
what about?
Well, it's somewhat, again, of a circuitous pathway, but when I had my first issue, I had a back issue. And I was living in Chicago at the time.
Okay.
And one of the things that I did to really help myself recover from that was I became very involved with the Chicago Botanical Gardens.
Okay.
I love the Chicago Botanical Gardens. It has so many wonderful things. It's on the North Shore of Chicago, about a half an hour north of Chicago. And I became very involved with walking and exercising in a garden environment. And so that, to me, was my way of healing. And I would advocate that to everybody, as I do to my patients. I tell people, when you are recovering, when you're starting to exercise, if you can do that in a garden environment, it's tremendously healthy. If you could go down to the beach, either Long Beach or to Jones Beach and walk the boardwalk, I think being in that environment is very
versus
helpful.
Versus a high school track and going in a
right.
circle
well,
20 times. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm a big fan of that. And the reason I'm a big fan of that is because you can actually quantify the activities you're doing. So you can know that if I have a patient,
laps, yeah.
I can say in 15 minutes you can go around twice. And you do that for a week or two. And then the next week you do three times, and you do that in 22 minutes. You know, you take it and you do it. So there's a way of quantifying it. But for me, being in a garden was a great place for me to feel less stress, to kind of unwind, to do the exercise, but to be in nature.
Well, this is like we have Clark Gardens here in the town of North Hempstead, as well as the Frick Museum.
Right. We also have a nature walk now, and I think it's 2 miles at Hempstead Town Beach in Port Washington.
I think all of these are the best thing that anyone could do for themselves. If you're not moving, if you're not getting out of the house and doing things, pardon my words, you're dying.
Okay.
So I advocate for everybody to be out there to walk. The American Heart Association recommends 30 minutes of aerobic exercise 5 times a week and 2 times a week of weightlifting, and particularly in older people, lightweights.
Just from aerobic. That's that's not a walk through the mall. Where is it?
No, it's resistance.
Well, again, it has to do with what that person at their age, what their status is, what their arthritic issues are, what their mobility issues are. But for anybody, getting out and walking is clearly a benefit.
And today, there are many modified aerobic exercise classes, and Project Independence has a few.
That's true.
They may not be called aerobics, but basically, a lot of these disciplines are integrated today. And
they have Tai Chi, they have Zumba, they have all these different...
I think the message is you have to get out.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to stay home. You don't want to be immobile. So getting back to the Chicago Botanical Gardens, the next thing that really interested me was Hygieia. And there was a sculpture of Hygieia. Who is Hygieia?
Yeah.
So Hygieia is Asclepius's daughter, and Asclepius is the god of health in Greek mythology.
Wow.
And Hygieia is one of Asclepius's daughters, and she is the goddess of nursing. And that's where the word hygiene comes from.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, I love it.
And so then what did Hygieia expound upon as the important tenets of nursing, which I, again, wholeheartedly embraced, and it had to do with being in a garden? She believed in nursing people outdoors, not inside.
Okay.
Fresh air, cleanliness, bathing, and being in a garden environment. So she's actually also kind of the goddess
of beauty
of
too.
Gardens.
Uh-huh.
There are sculptures of her in many places.
Wow.
She is seen prominently at one of the Medici Gardens in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And an interesting story about Hygieia is Gustav Klimt of the Kiss fame made a series of paintings for the university in Vienna. And this was about 1901, and they were for the university. And so there was medicine, philosophy, and law were paintings that were created for the university. And Hygieia was a prominent fixture in the center of the painting for medicine.
Hmm.
Okay. Subsequently, that painting wound up in the hands of a Jewish family in Vienna, and then was confiscated by the Germans and considered degenerate art because of there were nudes, and it wasn't considered an important piece of work, and was subsequently burnt by the Germans in 1945 as they retreated from the Russian advances. And so the painting is gone forever.
Wow.
But there are some pictures left of it. And Hygieia is shown with the serpent. And the serpent is a sign of healing, both in Greek mythology and also in Jewish kind of Talmudic tradition. Now, it comes from two different meanings. In Greek mythology, the snake or the serpent is a sign of knowledge and education. So that's an important component of healing. In the Jewish tradition, the serpent is the sign of the original sin, dating back to Adam and Eve.
Okay.
And so it's the tenet that once one finds the root or the cause of a problem, then one is on the first step of curing that problem. So Hygieia has used the serpent, and Asclepius uses the serpent. So the sign of a doctor or of medicine is Asclepius's staff and the serpent
around it.
So kind of that's kind of where the botanical gardens, gardening, Hygieia, and my thoughts of patients getting out and walking came from. Long-winded answer, but
no, that's
where
it came from. That's a wonderful answer. Actually, you know what? We're going to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 WCWP.org. And when we come back, Dr. Gabernikov is just going to talk by himself for 15 minutes because I'm just loving listening to this. We'll be right back.